You know, there have been several times in the years that I've been preaching when a person leaving will say, you know, I know you were talking directly to me. And I've even had some problems on occasion when folks thought that somehow I had found out some deep, dark secret in their family and that I decided to preach on it that Sunday. Well, just so you know, I don't ever do that kind of thing. But there are times when I'm getting a sermon together that my own heart is convicted and I feel guilty and I feel remorse over times that I failed and in that particular topic that we have for that Sunday. Now, I don't know if you ever get convicted, but I hope you do, because if the Lord doesn't ever convict your heart about the way to change a behavior to get better, then you really need to check on your salvation, because that's how the Lord teaches his children. But can you imagine, as a fallible parent, how it feels to look into Scripture and to study the biblical model for parenting and to be reminded again of all of the ways I failed as a mom? You know, a sermon like today makes me just remember all of the ways, all the things I could have done better, all the ways I failed as a parent. It's like the Holy Spirit sticks a knife into my heart and then he twists it. Well, it really smarts, I have to tell you. But regardless, no matter how close to home it hits, it's important for us to learn what God has to say to us on sticky subjects. So today we're going to look at what God has to say about parenting. And this week we're going to look more closely at what God has to say about parenting little ones and youngsters. And next week, believe it or not, we are going to continue this talk about how God tells us to parent teenagers and also young adults and what to do in our families with adult children. You see, being a parent today is very challenging. The pain of childbirth is twofold. There's a pain of bringing the child into the world, and then there is the pain of bringing a child up in the world. And really, the last one is much, much worse. You know, the physical pain of having a child is tremendous, but that only lasts a few hours and that pain goes away. But the pain of rearing that same child lasts a lifetime, no matter how old they are, and it never, ever goes away. You know, the generation gap is really bigger today than it's ever been before. Now, for example, when you were young, if you wore old, worn-out jeans that had holes in them, you patched them up. When John and I first got married, his very, very favorite pair of jeans got a hole in them. And I patched them, and then I embroidered colorful flowers all down the leg on that side. They were his favorite pair of jeans, and it was very fashionable at the time. Now, Greg pays big money for jeans, new jeans, that look like, when he brings them home, that they belong in the rag bag. You know, when we were young, the only people who wore earrings were women, and they wore them in their ears. Now, both men and women, everything is pierced and studded and spiked, and sometimes there's just big holes where earlobes used to be. You know, and that's for men and women. A BlackBerry or a Palm Pilot today can do more than what a roomful of a computer could do not that many years ago. Now, we have some wonderful teenagers in our youth group, and they bless us all routinely. And if we were an amening church, I'd get an amen to that. And I personally would be proud to have any of them as my very own. But, you know, in general in the world, there seems to be a chaos in the way kids are behaving. You know, murders and assaults by people who are younger and younger, and more children who are medicated at early and earlier ages, and adolescent units in hospitals that are filled to the brim and are full of uncontrollable children. It's as though we are on the verge of anarchy today. But the truth is, we have always been on the verge of teenage anarchy in the world in which we live. I love this quote from a famous sociologist, and I really got a kick out of it. When it comes to rearing children, every society is only 20 years away from barbarianism. 20 years is all we have to accomplish the task of civilizing the infants who are born in our midst each year. These savages know nothing of our language, our culture, our religion, our values, or our customs. The infant is totally ignorant about communism, fascism, democracy, civil liberties, respect, decency, honesty, customs, and manners. The barbarian must be tamed if civilization is to survive. Well, on a bad day, I guess we would have to admit that there is an awful lot of truth in that. But here's what I believe. I believe that the solution to this problem, this solution for this problem that we seem to be facing in this culture, lies squarely on the shoulders of one group of people. And that group of people is called parents. You know, parents, we have a responsibility before God to fix this mess. Now, it's interesting in the Hebrew language of the Old Testament that there are certain words that only appear in the plural form. I don't know if you knew this. And never in the singular form, some of these words. For example, the word face. In the Hebrew of the Old Testament, literally face is always written in the plural form, faces, not in the singular. It's never face, it's always faces. And here's why. We all have multiple faces. We have a sad face. We have a happy face. We have a worried face. We have a zoned out face. I recognize it in many of your faces when I preach on a Sunday. We have all kinds of faces. So the Hebrew language reflects that and tells us that we have multiple faces. We are a multi-faced people. Now, another one of those plural words always found in the plural is parent. Literally, the Old Testament language of the Hebrew never has parent in the singular form. It is always plural, parents. Always plural, never singular. Now, I know that some of you in the sanctuary today have been forced, because of divorce or even death, to try to raise children on your own. And I also know that with God's grace, He is going to help you do that. But in the way that God designed families to best function, God designed it to be parents that raised kids, a husband and a wife, a mom and a dad, who love each other, who love Him, who want to serve Him. And as a team, they try to raise up their children, or barbarians, as that sociologist put it. That's the best environment for children to be raised in, a home where both parents love God and love each other. I read a story to the Owls a few months back about a little boy. We've all heard this story, that he had been to church with his parents. The preacher preached on parenting. And on the way home in the car, the little boy started crying, and his parents said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "The pastor said children should be raised in a good Christian home, but I want to stay with you." The best, the brightest, the most well-adjusted children are raised in Christian homes, where moms and dads love each other and they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have to tell you this. I am no expert on parenting. And if you want to know the specific areas in which I have failed, all you need to do is ask my children. And they will be more than happy to give you for instances and particulars. But the good news this morning is that I know someone who is an expert. And his name is God. As a matter of fact, before there was a parent on this earth, God had in His mind the way that it needed to be done. God gave the Apostle Paul three simple truths about being a parent. And those same truths apply to every generation of every age, including the age you and I live in right now. Truth number one is this: teach children the right message. You know, there are several messages that we have to teach our children. One of them is we ought to teach them what is required of them. Verse 1 of our Ephesians lesson this morning says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord." The first lesson children need to learn in the school of life is the price and the privilege of obedience and disobedience. Now, if you are a young parent today, from the time your child is born, you need to begin to teach them about obedience. And if you are an old parent, you need to know that there are some young parents that don't have a clue what that means today. Our daughter-in-law came to me. Well, if you know Ireland, you know her struggle. And she says, I know she needs to be obedient, but I don't know how to do that. And I sat down with her and I said, well, I'll give you one thing real simple to begin with. There is no time that little girl should say no to you. You should not be asking her to do something, and she should never, ever be permitted to say no. It never occurred to her because in her family, there was no obedience required. And she says that it's reflected in the life of the people in her family. That's one way. But older parents, we need to teach younger parents what that means for children to be obedient, because you know what? That concept has been lost in the country in which we live. We need to teach our children how to obey. Teach your children to obey, because you know what? As a rule, children are not obedient. Psalm 58, verse 3 says, wicked people are born sinners. Even from birth they have lied and gone their own way. You know what? No one ever had to teach a precious little child how to be disobedient. Did you ever have to sit down with any of the children in your family to show them how to be disobedient? That seems to be something that they have down well. Being disobedient comes naturally to children. So the end result is our children will naturally be disobedient. Our job as parents is to teach them how to obey. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. If you don't train up a child in the way he should go, he will naturally go the way he shouldn't go, because that's human nature. Children need to learn from birth that obedience is not an option. Now, parents, I will make you a guarantee this morning. I guarantee that if you are going to try to teach your children obedience or how to obey, they will not like you. I'm making that guarantee to you right now. I guarantee it. As a matter of fact, when you try to teach them to obey you, more than likely you will hear the proverbial phrase, I hate you. You will hear that. Now, you know they don't, and I know they don't. We all know that they don't, but they'll say it because they don't like to be taught to obey. So the question becomes, what's more important to us as parents? Is it more important that your children like you, or that you teach them what God tells you to teach them, and that is to obey? Well, all of us here today, one of the reasons why we're here today is because we believe it's more important to do what God says, and it's more important for you to teach them to obey. They will get over not liking you, and that's because they love you. But it's important to understand that it is an absolute imperative that you teach your children to obey. If you can only teach them one thing, teach them that. Because all through their entire lives, they will be under authority. They will have to obey somebody. When they are born and put in your home, they must obey you. Later in life, when they go to school, they have to obey their teachers. Later on, when they get their driver's licenses, they will have to obey the traffic laws and policemen. And later on, when they get out on their own and get a job, we all pray that they do, they will have a boss. And they will need to be in obedience to that boss. If they were never taught obedience, they're not going to make it out there. And once all of that is done, keep in mind that all of us are under the authority of God. So we all better learn to obey, because that's what it is to be a Christian. Parents, very early on, teach your children obedience and model that obedience to God in your own life. Now, next week, we're going to continue to look into how God intends for us to raise our children. And we're going to look at teenagers. And we're going to look at adult children. And we're going to look at how He wants us to do it, because He has specific ways that parents are supposed to do that for their children. And we're going to look at that next week. I guess that's part two, isn't it? Isn't that how they say that? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we realize that You are a great God. And we do understand that we lack so much knowledge and wisdom when it comes to parenting. But Father, we know and we believe that you have all knowledge and all wisdom. And we believe and we know that your word is true. And we believe and we know that your word can teach us how to be the parents that you want us to be, no matter what the age of our children. We know that also your word instructs our children how to be the children in our homes that you want them to be. And so, God, today we've come before you recognizing that we don't have the answer, but also recognizing that you do. And we ask that you would continue to reveal those answers to us as we study what you have to say in your word. For we pray it today in the name of the one who makes it possible at all, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.